What's up, Dialed fam? Welcome to episode 172 of the Dialed Health Podcast. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and head coach here at DialedHealth.com, which is strength training for cyclists. And on today's episode, it's just me. I have some very exciting announcements for you guys, including changes in the podcast for the upcoming year. I'm going to talk about the 2024 Dialed Health Shred, and we're going to go into detail about the protocol and answer some frequently asked questions. We're also going to talk about the insomnia that I've been dealing with the past couple of weeks, because this has been a journey. It has been one of the weirdest things I've ever experienced. And we're also going to talk about my upcoming goals coming into the new year. So without further ado, let's jump into this thing. The first announcements I have for you are that I was on the Adventure Stash podcast hosted by Payson McKelvin. We actually did two parts, and part two just came out, which was one of the most surreal things ever, because I'm a huge fan of Payson McKelvin. If you guys aren't familiar with who that is, he is a off-road cyclist who is a past marathon MTB national champion. He is on the Lifetime Grand Prix and competitive on the Lifetime Grand Prix for the top five. He is a Red Bull athlete, and he's someone who's done some insane endurance efforts that have really inspired some of the things that I've done, like the Everest Rome. For instance, he crossed Iceland in one day through insane weather and documented the whole thing. So being able to connect with him on his podcast was just so cool. And if you aren't familiar with what my story is, my history in gravity mountain bike racing, my time spent in the general health and fitness industry, and how I've really brought everything back together, which is now Dialed Health, I recommend going and checking out the first episode. And we also talk about strength training for cyclists, which continues into the second episode, where he is asking me questions that he has in particular. And then we go on to talk about the Everesting efforts I've done, from the trail bike to the double Everest to Everest Rome. And the questions from him are so cool, because he has experienced exactly the things I've experienced on these rides. So I think you guys will love them. Go and check out the Adventure Stash podcast. I will have the links to it for Apple and Spotify in the description below. And you can also find it on other major streaming platforms. Now, the second announcement is just as cool and maybe even crazier, because it's something I've never done before, which is speak on a live panel. I am going to the Endurance Exchange the first weekend of January in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is hosted by USA Triathlon, but this year they are including cycling coaches and running coaches. So I'm going out with Training Peaks, and we're going to be talking about why strength training benefits endurance athletes. So I'll be on a panel with another trainer named Aaron, who is amazing. I just met her. We're going to be taking questions from the staff at Training Peaks and then also from the audience live. So hopefully it goes well. But to be honest, everything we're talking about is in my wheelhouse. And if you guys listen to the podcast, you know I'm not afraid to say I have no freaking idea. So that's my confidence right there, is just in transparency. So if you are going to be there, please come and check out the panel. It's going to be at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, January 6th. And besides that hour, I will be at the Training Peaks booth just mingling with whoever wants to come up and chat. So please let me talk your ear off. Hopefully I can see you guys the first weekend of January at the Endurance Exchange. And if you want to know more about that event, I will leave a link in the description for you to check out the website. Now, last thing before we talk 2024 Dialed Health Shred, let's briefly go over the changes to the podcast for the upcoming year and kind of why I'm doing it. Now, this year was awesome growth for the podcast. It's actually the first year that I really prioritized having guests on the podcast, because if you're an OG podcast listener, you'll know that most of the episodes used to just be me talking. And that's why the weekly thoughts have become such an important part of the podcast as well, because shout out to the OG members, they want to hear me talk. And so we've left that a part of it, but bringing in athletes like Nielsen Palace and Keegan Swenson and Allison Jackson, and we just had Cole Patton on, and Alexi Vermeulen, like we have all of these incredible high performers that are not holding back on what they're doing for training. And it's been such a cool learning experience for me, and hopefully for you as well. And since I have incorporated the interviews and the weekly thoughts, I've really thought for a while now, what if I split up the episodes into two shorter episodes per week, opposed to one per week? And well, mostly one per week. As you guys know, like there's the occasional month where like December is always a classic month where I don't put out a podcast every single week. But we're reevaluating, we're reassessing. And my thought was two shorter episodes on Tuesday and Thursday, one being focused on an interview and then the other being focused on weekly thoughts and also member questions. So hopefully it's a positive thing. We'll see. It's just something I've wanted to test for a while, and that's why we're going to do it. Now, last thing on this is that member questions I mentioned. So there is now a member question space on the website where members only to dialedhealth.com can go and ask questions that they want to have discussed on the podcast. Now, this is very much taking a note out of the Trainer Road Handbook, which you guys know I shamelessly plug because I love their product so much. And one thing that they do is go over these member questions, which are real life scenarios that a lot of people are dealing with. And it's very often I'll answer questions. And my first thought is, I wish more people heard this because I know that this person is not the only one struggling with it. So if you have a question like that that you want on the podcast, go to the website and the community page or the tab, and then scroll down to podcast. You'll see where you can insert your question there. And when I get the question, I won't just leave you hanging. I will answer it and then I'll say, hey, I'm going to go over it on the podcast. And so if it's a legit question that you have now, don't worry, I will still answer it for you on the spot. And then whenever the next podcast comes out or a following one, I'll let you know when it's going to be. And you'll probably get a little bit more in depth there. So members, go and use that feature. I'm really stoked about it. And just give me a week or two to kind of figure this out. I'd love to say that January 1, I'm just going to come out swinging with this operation just dialed in, but it's probably going to take a little bit of figuring out. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So Tuesdays and Thursdays moving forward, stay tuned to the podcast. Now let's talk about the 2024 Dialed Health Shred. This starts January 1st. It falls on a Monday, and it's like the stars aligned for all the cliche new year, new me things to come through in 2024, and we're taking advantage of it. So January 1st all the way through the 31st is going to be the official contest where we will have two separate prizes for two separate winners. We'll be picking one male, one female to each win $500 cash sent directly from me via PayPal. We have a free annual membership to both winners to dialedhealth.com and also a Garmin Index 2 smart scale, which is the scale I use every single morning. Before I get into the 30-day protocol, I want you guys to know really how I ended up here and started food tracking in the first place. It was because I was training so hard and consistent with my diet, eating super healthy foods. And I honestly didn't feel like my body resembled that. And before I get into the details about aesthetics, I want you guys to know that, you know, I love who I am. I'm proud of who I am. There's no part of me that sees something that says, I need to change this or that to make this person happy or to be happy or any underlying issue like that. I just simply was like, I'm putting in so much work. Why does my body not look the part? Why does it not look absolutely shredded? And sure, I'm very healthy. I do look fit, but I think at the time I was like 16% body fat, and that was kind of where I would average. So sometimes I'd be heavier, sometimes I'd be a little bit less. So healthy, fit, all good there. But again, as a full-time trainer and somebody that is now making content about this, I was like, man, I don't feel like I look the part. And so like, what is off? Because I'm eating so healthy, and I really was, with the exception of a few things that food tracking taught me. Essentially, I was eating very healthy, wholesome foods, but I was eating so much of it. You know, avocados have a lot of calories. Like, you can't just eat a whole avocado and think that your fat macros are gonna be where they need to be if you're trying to lose body fat. You know, like, my body resembled someone who trained hard, but also ate a lot of food and a little bit too much food. And the habit that I was in was eating big meals, even if they were high in protein, very energy dense, mostly whole food. It was still like too many calories. And then after a full day of eating really well, quote unquote, I would end the day with like a dessert or some alcohol or a combo of both. And I still had some binging habits from, I'm not going to say my previous life, but earlier from my childhood. You know, I would sit down and eat like 15 Oreos or 8 Krispy Kreme donuts or, you know, like just an insane, get a Ben and Jerry's ice cream and a 2-pack of Reese's and a 6-pack of Oreos and eat that all together, you know? So like a 2000 calorie bomb of just junk. And again, it's like, I don't fear any food. I don't think that any food should be like quote unquote off limits. But there were these things that just didn't line up with my goals, period. And I realized that because I was at a point where I felt like I was training as much as I could. I was still eating well. So like, what was off? Now, at the time, I had a lot of influence from the general fitness industry, including from bodybuilders who are freaks about tracking their food, as you would have to be to get on stage and perform that way. Now, it was the first time I was like, oh man, maybe I should just see how many calories I'm taking in because my food quality is pretty dang good. And lo and behold, the first couple of days I tracked all over 4,000 calories. I kid you not, even though some days like it kind of balanced out because of the ride I was doing, like at the time I was racing enduro, you know, you can do 10K a days on your trail bike. And those would kind of balance out. But there were days where I just did a 1 hour strength workout. And I'm still eating 3,500 calories, 4,500 calories. It was crazy. So when I brought the calories down, I realized, I was like, you know what? The foods I'm eating are not that different, but I can't have dessert. Alcohol is a whole other story. It's just like the worst thing to ever try and fit into a diet. And I'm just eating like too much. So what do I change? What do I manipulate? And there were little things I learned in the process. Like, oh, instead of four whole eggs in the morning, I should just have one whole egg, still get the nutrition from the yolk, and I should have egg whites with it. And that's the kind of meal that has stuck with me. And it's lower calorie, it's higher protein, and it's a way better fit for my lifestyle. And I actually, the first time I food tracked, I did it for 2.5 months, and I went from, I think I was 15.8% body fat. I went all the way down to, it was like 7.9. And I've actually been in the low sevens. So it wasn't quite the leanest I've ever been, but I'm telling you, it was like, it was literally life-changing. And I think the biggest thing for me was that it was empowering. Like I felt like I now had control over my own like body composition. And I think as a trainer, this was just very important to me because I'm helping people lose weight all the time. And I was like, I need to be able to clearly show people this process. And that's what the Dialed Health Shred is. It is my experience food tracking, and you're getting it packaged up, and hopefully it can help you the same way. And I know it really has with a lot of people. And I think the goal this time around will really be to emphasize what you do after, because I really want to make sure that people aren't having us like some kind of crazy yo-yo. Now let's talk about the 30-day shred protocol. I'm going to go through all of them and then give my 2 cents after so I don't get carried away. Food tracking every single day, 5 to 6 workouts per week. This is broken up into strength training sessions and rides. Each have to be at a 2 times per week minimum, including 1 recovery mobility session minimum and a mandatory rest day. Water requirement is 100 ounces for females and 128 ounces for males per day. This includes drink mixes that contain electrolytes, but it does not include anything with caffeine. Now, what I just said to you is going to come off to some people as very neurotic and crazy to say, oh, I'm going to track every single piece of food I eat for the entire month. The answer is yes, you are going to do that if you want to actually get the results. Because the people that will tell you this is neurotic, this is crazy, this is overkill, you should live a little bit, I can't believe you're doing that. Don't you want to have fun? Are you going to live like this forever? No. You don't start tracking food to track food for the rest of your life. If you track your food for 30 days and you just continue to eat the way you ate, you don't have to really continue tracking it. And then guess what? Your education through the process and what you learn about food during the process will allow you to make the best food choices no matter what situation you're in. Because when you see food, you'll have a way better understanding of the actual energy you're getting from it. So that's total calories, that's protein, fat, and carbs, and your ability to read food labels, the way that this applies to nutrition during your rides, these things are gonna get so much easier for you. So I want you guys to know, you are gonna be crazy about this for 31 days. This is a priority. People are gonna tell you you're crazy, but guess what? You're gonna get the results, and after, you're not gonna have to keep doing it. You have to just touch base on it. You know, when I feel like I'm getting a little carried away with my diet, this is like midsummer. We're talking 4th of July for me over here in Northern California, vacation, drinks, parties, lake, the whole deal. There's like a time where I'm like, all right, I'm going to track my food for 3 days and I'm going to recalibrate. You know, I'm going to make sure I'm not getting too far from my real standard. And so those little check-ins are great throughout the year, and you can always call back on them. And then every January, maybe you just go hard and you just kind of do these recalibrations, but that's what food tracking is. So the most frequently asked question I get is like, how do I do this forever? And the answer is you do not do it forever. You do it for a period of time. Yes, it is not sustainable, but it's not supposed to. What? Can I ask you something? What is sustainable that is worthwhile? Period. Is going to college? Well, is that worthwhile? I mean, that's I don't even want to go down that road, but listen. College education, raising babies, the 30-day shred protocol, crazy builds into races where you're trying to peak. These are all, everything has to take specific focus for a short period of time to move the needle forward. I'm sure most of you guys in your professional lives, in your family lives, it takes real focus, real effort, and real energy for you to make it stick. So I don't want you to come into this thing thinking, oh, this is going to be a mellow tweak that I'm just going to add and it's going to be great. It's going to be easy. I'm going to get to my goals. No, it is not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, but you have clarity in the process. And I promise if you nail this for 30 days, you're going to be so proud of yourself. You're going to unlock something new for the rest of the year. I can promise you that. You will not look at food the same. You're going to feel empowered. And most importantly, you're going to have self-confidence because you followed through with what you said you were going to do. Now, with all that said, and I know I sound like freaking David Goggins right now on the podcast trying to get you fired up. And what I mean by that is this does take a learning process. You're going to get in a bind where you don't have the right foods to hit your macros. You're not going to know how to track a certain type of food, or you're just going to get a food that is untrackable. Like if someone drops off a lasagna at your house, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. But if you can't track it and you ballpark it, that's not going to be perfect, but you have to do what you have to do. Or you smack it out of their hands and you said, don't you know it's the Dialed Health Shred? It's January. Get off of my property. That you do one or the two. You know what I'm saying? And you just do what you got to do. I would probably do the former. I'd probably take the lasagna and really practice some portion control. But that's like another thing. When you track food for a month, you actually understand portion control. You understand eating intuitively so much better because you understand food. You understand food and you still refer back to how you feel. And you compare the two constantly back and forth. Like, this is what the food says. This is what the science says. This is what my body feels like. This is what I think I need to do. And this is that back and forth that you do. So it's not going to be perfect. You're going to get in binds. And remember that every time you get in a bind, it is a good thing. It's a good thing because it's literally growth. These are just growing pains that you're going through. You are in a bind because you're pushing yourself to elevate. And the reason you wouldn't have been in a bind without it is because you're not trying. And I'm not saying you're not trying in all these areas of life, but for this in particular, this requires real effort. And so when you get in that bind, remember, this is good. This is growth. I will figure this out and I won't have this problem in the future. So that's how you need to approach it. It's not going to be perfect, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's just an easy thing to do for the next 30 days because it's not. I've already had to prep my wife. Like, hey, just so you know, you can't cook foods that I can't separate, or we can't just go to any place that doesn't give me some ballpark of macros. And she knows it's just for a month. She gets the whole thing by now and it goes by so quick. I'm telling you, like it, when you're in it, this is like parenting little kids. You're in it. It's crazy. It feels like it's going to go on forever. And already my twins are about to turn three and I'm like, wow, you know, the babies are, they're not babies, you know? So think of it that way. This is going to be your baby for the next 30 days. So the goal, lose body fat, build or maintain lean body mass, learn to fuel performance in a caloric deficit. Excuse me there. Got a little tripped up. Now I have a podcast about why this process works. And it's a very extended version of the rant I just kind of went on earlier. It's called The Perfect Cycling Diet. If you go to the journal at dialedhealth.com, which says 2024 Dialed Health Shred, there's a link to it. So you can go and check out that podcast. It will give you a bigger overview. Now, let's talk about the goals here. The biggest thing I see with cyclists trying to lose body fat is that they underfuel their rides. And it's like their food timing is off. So here's the deal. You know that you're going to feel hunger at some point. I can't promise you that you're just going to go through this and not feel hungry. And I'm not saying you can't eat more if you do feel hungry. What I'm saying is it's going to happen. Now, a lot of times people see the hunger as, okay, this is working, so I need to keep going. But they can get too deep into that hunger. And when you track your food, even though as neurotic and crazy as it seems, you're actually putting yourself in the position you're way more likely to fuel your workouts correctly because you're so close to a maintenance level, but you're just under it, opposed to being wildly under it and you bonk in the first 30 minutes on your ride. And with that being said, you're going to have to use a lot of your calories for your rides and you're going to add back your ride calories. So for instance, if I have 2000 calories for my basal metabolic rate, which this will make sense to you if you go through the Tread Journal. There's a BMR calculator on my website, which is how you find out how many calories you need to eat to maintain your weight currently. And so you have your BMR, you add your activity level, you make sure there's a little bit of deficit, and you're like, okay, 2000 calories is my line. And I'm going to use, you know, easy numbers for simple maths here. Okay. So you do a ride and you burn 1000 calories. That means you need to add 1000 calories to that day. And that sounds crazy to someone who's like, oh my gosh, I can't eat 3000 calories and lose weight. But this is the difference. You are a high performer. You're not doing a 30-minute like easy yoga class, which I love, by the way. But all of these diets, you guys, that people do, like the juice fast, the cleanse, the whatever doctor prescribed, whatever 800 calorie thing, they tell you not to work out. And that's the last thing I want you to do. I want you to eat just under maintenance and then put back the calories you burn so you don't go too deep into a deficit. Now, when you time the carbohydrates, you can feel amazing during your rides. I'm going to tell you one of the gnarliest KOMs I've ever gotten. It was on a 40-minute segment on my mountain bike, was 2 weeks into a shred. And I was in a deficit for sure. But I started my ride with 60 grams of carbs in the bottle. I was hitting gels like every 30 minutes. And I was making sure the ride was fueled from the start, if not a little bit beforehand, so that I could get that session done, have the, even though I'm somewhat like depleted, I can at least get enough glucose into my system for that ride. And then after it, you follow it up with a higher protein, higher carb meal. And then the rest of the day, you're back to eating pretty lean. And so, and by lean, I mean just like lower calories. So you have to time the food properly to make sure that you're fueling your rides. But adding back those calories is without a doubt the biggest differentiator between the Dialed Health Shred and whatever general PhD recommended whatever diet. Okay, so keep that in mind. I don't want to make it sound like I'm just bagging on other things, but when someone tells me they're on a diet that doesn't allow them to exercise, I'm like, wrong. Oh, really? Wrong. Oh, but you, wrong. Oh, but you know, it's going to, and I'm going to check in on the day and I'm going to keep the lower calories and I can't feel like it. Wrong. Why would someone tell you not to exercise? I'm lost for words. You know, I haven't even asked myself that in a while. Why would someone tell someone who wants to lose weight that they should not exercise during the process? Something's off. It's because they're not telling you to fuel your workouts. And honestly, it's because that's when it starts to get confusing. You guys, you can figure this out, okay? We, almost all of us, have some type of activity tracker that's going to give us a baseline of calories. You guys, I just use the one that Strava gives me. And I'll be honest, I have power on most of my bikes, but I haven't always. Like, I've done this process without having power on any of my bikes. And the estimated calorie burn I've gotten from Strava has been close enough. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's been close enough. So don't think that you need to go get some freaking blood test and wear a glucose tracker before every meal. I'm basically just saying that you have to fuel your workouts and to not stress about adding these calories, because if you do not add them back, you're not going to perform. But if you do add them and you prioritize carbohydrates before and during your workouts especially, you're going to probably reach for food more often than you normally would on a ride. I'll be honest about that. But you're not going to bonk and you're probably going to feel pretty dang good. I'm going to be real with you guys. Being in a caloric deficit gets way worse of a rap than it should. And I wouldn't tell somebody, okay, this is your A event for the year. Go ahead and do this thing right now. In fact, someone reached out and said, hey, my A event is in mid-January. What should I do? I still want to lose a couple pounds. And I told them, just eat at maintenance. Don't even be in a deficit, because that might be enough to lose weight and you'll still learn everything in the process of the food. So just track and be in maintenance. And that's what you can do too. If you are genuinely concerned about performance during this, just track and aim for maintenance and you'll know very quickly, oh, am I higher body fat than I want to be because I'm eating too much? Am I actually eating too little and there's something else going on? Like, you'll be able to find out very clearly. So that is essentially the Dialed Health Shred protocol. and finding those basal metabolic rate numbers. Those are all things that you do through the website, and we're going to have additional resources. But if you have questions, feel free to reach out. I'd love to help you through the process. We, on the journal, highlight some past winners. Shout out to Wesley Sturgill, lost 15 pounds in 30 days, 15.8, 4.7 inches, lost 4.7 inches total, gained 1 inch in calves, and lost 3.75 in his waist. I mean, what dude on the planet doesn't want to say, I lost 3.75 in my waist and I gained 1 inch on my calves? I mean, that's like a dream scenario right there. Sierra Thomas lost 9.4 pounds, 7.3 inches total, and gained 1 inch in biceps. Dude, she looks absolutely savage. And the photos and measurements, I highly recommend it. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. You're taking photos when you feel your worst, but I promise you, after 31 days of dedication, you'll be so happy that you took these photos. So I have an example of myself doing a shred, and it's pretty crazy to see the difference, you know, especially like I took these photos. There wasn't any crazy lighting. I'm not sucking in my gut. There's different angles, front, side, and back. I mean, you can see the fat melt off of areas that you would never even think fat was at. That's what's so trippy. We'll do weight, circumference measurements. I have a video linked here to show you how to take circumference measurements. And then ideally a body fat assessment. Now, this is not mandatory, but I do recommend trying to get a body fat test before and after because, it's just more data. You know, body fat measurements on scales, they're just not the most accurate, to be honest. Like, it's a good ballpark of where you're at and where you're going. But if you really want a clear understanding where your body fat is at, the gold standard is really getting a DEXA scan. They also have hydrostatic testing, which is like a dunk tank. And I don't see many people doing that anymore now that DEXA scans are around. But even using like bioelectric impedance on a scale is better than nothing. There's sort of in-between things like in-body machines, which I've had in my studio in the past. And I actually sold that machine to a friend, and I'm probably going to use it for this challenge. And it's within like 2% accuracy or 1% accuracy. It's great. And so the other option would be doing skin calipers. Again, less accurate, but still allows you to see trends and how your body is actually changing. And to wrap it up, we go into finding numbers. I use the MyFitnessPal app. There are other apps out there like Lose It or Carbon Tracking app. And there's other ones. I don't have an affiliation with any of them, but I've just used MyFitnessPal because their library is insane of the amount of foods you can scan, the amount of foods you can input. Topping off on measuring cups, all those things are important. There's basically directions on how to submit your results at the bottom. So that is the Dialed Health Shred. I can't wait to get into it with you guys. And I figured before I talk about the insomnia, I should talk about some upcoming goals because the first one is to lose 6 pounds of body fat. That's going to be my goal for the month and to maintain it beyond that. I don't want to go too, well, I don't know if I want to go leaner than that. I probably could, but my real goal is to maintain the weight that I lose throughout. And that's going to mean maybe a less, aggressive approach. And I'm going to play that one by ear, but I know by the end of the month, I will be 6 pounds of body fat less. Now, performance-wise, I'm going into the season with some really exciting stuff on the calendar. I told you about the Endurance Exchange. I'm going to likely be doing a little weekend training camp just to get some extra miles in January. And then February, I'm kicking off with the Rock Cobbler, a gravel race in Bakersfield, California. It's incredible, like one of the coolest races out there. I highly recommend it. And I'll be doing their long distance this year, which is like 120 miles. And it's like an experimental course. There's something going on with this. So I signed up for that right away, and I'm really looking forward to it. That's going to be early February. Then we're going to get into March, and this is where I start the BWR Triple Crown in Arizona. Now, the BWR Triple Crown are three races from the Belgian Waffle Ride calendar that are in early season that they have like a separate overall for. And so it's going to be the Scottsdale race in Arizona. It's going to be Utah, and it's going to be California. And so I'm going to be doing all three of those. And they're basically split like early March, early April, and then late April. And in between that, I have Levi's Grand Fondo, which is actually going to be a road race. There's going to be an option for actually racing it. And then I'm also going to be out at Sea Otter, but I don't think I'm going to be racing Sea Otter. I think I'm just going to be out there doing some activations with sponsors. And I'm already talking to Pac about doing something pretty cool. And that makes me realize I need to announce new sponsors for the upcoming year. And I will do that soon. But Pac is a brand that I'll be working with for helmets and eyewear. And they're amazing. So anyways, that is the schedule going up until May. That's about all I know as of now. And the rest of the season is going to be, you know, unfolding before my eyes as well. Now, I got one more thing before I let you guys go. It's to talk about the insomnia I've been dealing with the past couple of weeks. This feels like it came up out of nowhere. In fact, I can't think of one thing that I've done differently except for the quality of sleep I've been getting in the past few months. So let me kind of set the stage for you. I've been getting limited sleep since I became a personal trainer full-time. And this was when I was 21 years old. And you are doing 5 a.m. sessions, and you're also doing 8 p.m. sessions, and your schedule's all over the place. So you end up doing split shifts. You end up doing nights where you get 5 hours of sleep because you got home at 9:30, and then you have to be up at 4 a.m. And it's just like kind of a mess. But to be honest, to build out a schedule, you really need to be available as a trainer. And really at that time, you know, not married, no kids, it's like, what else are you going to do? So you just open up that schedule and you let it fill up. And then as you get in more demand, you start blocking people and then you can curate somewhat of a better schedule. But all throughout the changes in my training career, I would be doing 5 a.m. sessions and some afternoons. And it did get easier, but there were still a lot of nights with very limited amount of sleep. And I took this into having kids. And we had our son, Otto. And then when he was 1.5 years old, I had twin boys, Remy and Cruz. And so I have 3 kids in my house under 2 years old. And as you can imagine, we did not sleep very well for a while. In fact, the first 3 months of my twins being born, I almost actually lost my mind. And, you know, we had a clock set for every 3 hours, and that's when we had to feed them. And with 2 babies, my wife can't do it all. So I'm up every single time, and it was insane. So needless to say, I went from a crazy trainer schedule to having kids, and it's only been in the last 6 months where I've started getting very good sleep because my kids are sleeping through the night very consistently. You know, it's not perfect. Every parent knows, but it is consistent for the most part. And I'm not having to wake up crazy early because I'm all online. I typically wake up between 6 and 6:30 now. And I'm still trying to figure out that. But being fully rested is something that has been an incredible feeling. But in the time that I've felt like I'm a lot more rested and I'm getting really good sleep, I have not changed my caffeine consumption. And part of me thinks that my body has sort of caught up with itself because I started drinking caffeine in the afternoon when I became a trainer because of the split shifts. And you have to be on, you know, you're walking around, you're physical, you're talking, you have to kind of play like entertainment is what it feels like sometimes. So I would start drinking energy drinks before I went back into my afternoon session. And I just thought afternoon caffeine was like a thing. And it's been a thing since then. And it hasn't changed at all. And I've realized talking to more people about this that a lot of people don't drink caffeine after 2 p.m. And if you're listening to this and you think I sound crazy, maybe I am crazy, but I have been the guy who can drink a quad shot Americano at 5 p.m. and not have any issues falling asleep at night. In fact, my wife always jokes about how fast I fall asleep. And in the past, I think I've even made comments on the podcast like, if you're not sleeping well, you should train harder. You know, and it sounds like so ignorant because I think what I'm dealing with is a combination of the caffeine, but also this weird anxiety that's been created out of a panic of not falling asleep. And so I have total empathy for people who have sleep issues now because I've realized that it's something I completely take for granted is quality sleep. And it just like started out of nowhere. So I basically couldn't fall asleep one night. I'm up till 12:30, which was really random. I usually fall asleep around 10, head hits the pillow, I'm out. And I sleep like a baby unless something wakes me up. And the second day, I didn't really think much of it. I was like, oh, that was a weird night. I'm laying in bed. And granted, I did have caffeine. Like, I think I literally had a quad shot Americano at like 5 p.m. that night. But I'm in bed and it's 10 o'clock and I'm staring at the ceiling and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not sleeping. Like, what's wrong with my body? And then it's 11 and then it's midnight and then it's 1 and then I'm eating. And then it's 2. I literally was up till 3 a.m. And in that process, I convinced myself that like my body was broken. And the worst thing about it was the week that I had ended up getting really busy. I had two of these awesome rides planned. I had this YouTube video planned with EJ. Shout out to you, EJ, if you're listening. The next morning, I was going to travel for it. I had the Payson McKelvin Adventure Stash podcast. I had all these things set early. Everything required me to leave my house or be on a call by like 7:30 in the morning or leave my house before 6 a.m. So as I'm not sleeping through the night, I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have these obligations. I have these things I have to do. And I'm getting so freaking stressed. And I had to cancel some of them. Thankfully, the night of the Adventure Stash podcast, I slept great. But it was when I started experimenting with taking out caffeine. And there was one ride I went on and did, and I felt horrible. And the body was still performing, but it started getting in my head that I'm like, not going to be able to sleep. And if I can't sleep, I can't recover. If I can't recover, I can't perform. If I can't perform on the bike, I can't perform in my job. And it just spiraled. And I'll be honest, it's kind of embarrassing now about how much I panicked, because when I cut out the afternoon caffeine, even though I felt extremely groggy the next few days, my sleep improved. Like, it got way easier to fall asleep. But there's been these occasional nights where I'm thinking about it, and the thought of not falling asleep keeps me up. How freaking twisted is that? And it keeps me up so much and freaks me out so much that I'm sweating and my body temp is all over the place and I feel like panicky. And so the first thing I did was start asking people about caffeine consumption. A lot of people told me not after 11, not after noon, not after 2. And so that was kind of reassuring. And that's when I connected the dots of like, oh, I'm probably not supposed to have as much caffeine as I used to when I was sleep deprived constantly. And so that makes a lot of sense to me. But then there was this weird panic around it. And I felt like so honestly disturbed by it that I almost felt like depressed for a couple of days and really, really in my own head. And the only reason I say depressed is because I felt that way before. And it feels like you're walking around with like a blanket over your head. You know, I think people will kind of understand what I'm talking about if you're going through it. And it's funny because it sort of resurfaced this whole talk around mental health lately, because there's part of me that thinks it takes up a little too much space. And it's like, okay, like, yeah, like mental health, this and that. And this is from somebody who's had legit anxiety attacks. That's why I have breathe tattooed on my neck, because I think breath really is like that instant. Like when I feel a trigger for anxiety, that's what I really rely back on, as cliche as it sounds. But it kind of reopened my eyes to the things people are struggling with that you can't see, for one, and also how things can spiral out of control. And so once I kind of acknowledged that, we go to church. And I got some prayer from an elder there. His name's Dale. He's the man. And his prayer felt like he was reading my mind. I kid you not. If you've ever had somebody pray for you, it is one of the wildest things when you really are struggling that way and you really need it. And so he said a few things that were like, oh man, so like it felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders, literally. And so with that, I've had multiple people actually start praying for me, my family, extended and close family. And I was talking to my mother-in-law last night about it too. And she was also just bringing up the fact that, for one, focusing on not being able to fall asleep is the spiral that is not going to let you fall asleep. But also, you essentially have to trust God that He's bigger than your worry. And this is like the most common thing that you're going to hear in a worship song. And for everyone listening, you know, I'm very open about my faith of being a Christian. And so this is where I'm pulling this from. I know a lot of people have different methods for dealing with anxiety, but this is how I've been going about it. And it's insane because the nights I've started to have trouble falling asleep, I start praying and praying for other people. And it's made me realize that when I get caught up in my own head, it's because I'm all just focused on me. It's like me, 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 me. This is my problem. I need help. I need this. I need that. And it, simply when I just start focusing on other people and praying for them, I was just like relaxing and like calming down. And every night I've done that, I've fallen asleep. And it, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot to learn from it for me. I think this is opening up my eyes to a couple things. I think one, it's empathy for other people. And I think too, it's really making sure that I'm not letting even success in my life or like busyness that comes along with it distract me from a relationship with God. And I think those are the two big things. So anyways, that's what I'm working on. I'm also, by the way, Sleepy Time Tea, amazing. Sleepy Time Extra with valerian root, amazing. Melatonin tablets, they do work. They help. And so I've been messing with these little things here and there. So that's pretty much the whole journey, guys. If you're dealing with it, you know, I'd be curious to hear what you have kind of done for it. I'll tell you that taking the eye off of my quote unquote problem of not being able to fall asleep and focusing on other people through prayer has been the biggest game changer so far in dealing with this. And also just not giving it energy throughout the day, like, you know, not dwelling on it, not putting that blanket over my head of like depression of this thing where you're like, oh my gosh, like if only I could sleep, I could do all these, you know what I mean? So anyways, that's kind of the transparent view behind what I've been dealing with there. Thankfully last night I slept amazing and it took a second to fall asleep, but gosh, you know, just it's insane what not being able to sleep, how it could like affect your whole life. So anyways, that's it. Probably shared a little bit too much, probably a little bit TMI for you guys, but had to just let you know what I'm dealing with. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I know this was very much for the OG listeners and the members, and I hope that you guys are fired up for the shred. I hope that you're excited for the upcoming changes in the podcast, and go and use that members question. I was going to say thing on the website, but the entry form. And with that said, guys, we're going to see you live next Tuesday. It's on. We got a sick interview planned. Well, for the first of the year, I got to plan something for next week. But yeah, until then, start moving forward and happy new year.